turn to the 62nd Psalm. This has always been one of my favorite psalms. You'll find the word only in this psalm 6 times. Charles Spurgeon called it the only psalm. And 4 times the word is translated only, once truly, and once surely. But they're all in this psalm. So look at these as we read this psalm together, the only psalm. Truly, only, my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with the mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation, my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. When you see that word, it doesn't need to be stated. It means think about this. Consider this. Meditate upon this. Surely, men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also, unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Let's pray. Lord, we come into your presence with thanksgiving for who you are. We come with thanksgiving for your Son. He is who you are. And for your Spirit, for He is who you are. And we ask in Christ's name, your beloved Son's name, that you would meet with us and speak in power to our hearts for Christ's sake. Forgive us of our sins for Christ's sake. Lord, enable each one of us to behold His glory and rest in Him. We pray for your blessing upon all your people wherever they meet together. Accept our thanksgiving. In His name we pray. Amen. The only psalm. I like that title. The only psalm. Only is true. Only is true. True is found in the Word only. Scriptures only. Christ only. Grace only. Faith only. The glory of God only. Only my soul waits on God. Now, my marginal reading says truly or only my soul is silent before God. From Him cometh my salvation. My soul is silent before God. Now, what's that mean? What do I say? He is so glorious. He is so great. He is so infinite that any words fall below expressing proper praise to Him. I like what Paul said when he said, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Now, praise, no doubt, is to be audible. But when it comes right down to it, what do I have to say that's worthwhile, that is worthy? And that's why he says, praise is silent before thee. The best praise is silent praise. Faith is silent. It waits only upon Him. Truly, my soul is silent before God. From Him cometh my salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. Therefore, I wait on Him. Verse 2. He only is my rock. We looked at this last week, verse 2. Chapter 61. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He only is my rock, my immovable rock, my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. And I love the way Simeon expressed this. When he was holding the Lord Jesus Christ in his hands as an 8-day-old baby, he said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." The person of Christ is God's salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Now, this is why David says, "I'm secure." Three titles. He's my rock. He's my salvation. He's my defense. He's my high place. He's my rock. He's my salvation. He's the reason for salvation. He Himself is salvation. Salvation for His sake. I love the way the parable of the marriage feast begins. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king that made a marriage for his son. That's God's motive. Creation is for Christ's sake. Election is for Christ's sake. Redemption is for Christ's sake. Every aspect of salvation is for Christ's sake. Ephesians 4:32, "Be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You want to know why God can forgive you? Is it because you've been sorry enough and promised to be better? No, for Christ's sake. That's all the reason He needs. For Christ's sake. Now look what He says in verse 3. He says, "How long will you imagine mischief against a man?" He's speaking to the unbeliever. "You shall be slain, all of you, as a bow and wall, a wall having being pressed and getting ready to break apart, as a tottering fence shall you be. David is speaking to his enemies who wish him ill. Verse 4, they, these people he's speaking about, he's talking about the depravity of man, the people he mentions in verse 3, they only, there's that word only again, they only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They consult to cast the Lord Jesus down from his excellency. They have no love for him. And they want to see him brought down. They only seek to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. And this is talking about every natural man. They delight in lies. They delight in lies with regard to God. They delight in lies with regard to man. They don't love the truth. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth. Oh, they say praise the Lord and they use religious language. They bless with their mouth. But here's what's going on the inside. They curse inwardly. They curse who God is. They curse God's valuation of what man is. There's no real love to God in these people in seeking to cast him down from his excellency. You know, the natural man. Now listen to me. This is the way I'm born. This is the way you're born. We're born with a hatred of Jesus Christ. Somebody says, no, I'm not guilty of hating Christ. Well, you might not be guilty of hating the Christ that you've imagined, but the one of the Bible, men's view of God and Christ are seen when they hear the true gospel preached. That's when you find out what men really think. Now, David says again, my soul, verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God. 4, my expectation, my hope is from him. Now, I have hope right now that I'm going to be saved. That God will look at me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that expectation is wholly because of him. God looks to Christ, and everything he requires of me, he looks to his son born. My expectation is from him. He only, verse 6, he only is my rock. There's that word again. He only is my rock. He only is my salvation. He's my defense. Now that word defense is high place. High place. Now, how high is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's high, isn't he? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He is high, and every believer is seated together in him, according to Ephesians 2:6. Now, how high is Christ? How secure is Christ? How safe is Christ? That's how safe I am. That's how secure I am in the Lord Jesus Christ. My defense. He is my defense, my high place. Therefore, I shall not be moved. I can't be moved if I'm in him. Verse 7, in God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Now notice how he says, in God is my salvation. 1 Corinthians 1:30, of him are you in God. Christ Jesus. In God is my salvation. Of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. Notice the strength of that language. He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, holiness, and redemption, full deliverance. That Paul went on to say, according as it's written, he that glorieth. You're going to glory in something. You're either going to glory in yourself, you're going to glory in God. One of those two places. As it's written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge, a mighty refuge, is our God. A bulwark, never failing. My refuge is in God, accepted in the Beloved. Now, May the Lord give me and you the grace to chew on that for just a moment. Right now, I am accepted in the Beloved. In God is my salvation. And look what he says in verse 8. Trust in Him. How often? At all times. Trust in Him at all times. At all times, He's in absolute control of all things. I don't know how many times I'll get frustrated, and then the Lord will give me the grace to remember He's in control of everything. Trust in Him at all times. At all times, all of His people are accepted in the Beloved. At all times. There's never a time when I'm not accepted in the Beloved. At all times, salvation is all of grace. At all times, Romans 8:28 is in effect. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Trust in Him at all times. And He even says, what a blessing this is. He even says, pour out your heart before Him. Whatever's in your heart, you can't fake before God. We can fake before men, but not before God. He sees what's there. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Isn't that a precious verse? Trust in Him at all times. Pour out your heart before. Don't try to be something you're not before Him. Pour out your heart before Him. He knows. God is a refuge, a stronghold. For us, Selah. Now he makes this statement that I think is, it's almost funny because it's so true. Surely men of low degree, low-born men, men who the world would consider as unimportant, men of low degree, you know what they are? Vanity. Vanity. Nothing more. And men of high degree. Men who think they're something. Men who think they count. Men who consider themselves powerful in this world. The movers and the shakers. The people who think themselves to be somebody. I love that scripture where Paul says, if a man thinketh himself to be something, when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Men of high degree, what are they? A lie. A lie. Put them both together. Put them on the balance. And you know what they come out to be? Altogether lighter than vanity. Do you think about, have you ever thought about how unreasonable the fear of man is? I love what David said in Psalm 39, verse 5. Man at his best state, is altogether vanity. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Every man walks in that vain show, me and you included. I love the scriptural description of men. Low degree, vanity. High degree, worse, a lie. Put them both together, and they're all together lighter than vanity. Now he gives some sage wisdom to us. Trust not in oppression. Trust not your ability to manipulate things to get them the way you want them. That's what that's talking about. Trust not in your ability to manipulate things and put pressure on things to make sure what you want comes to pass. Don't do that. Don't do that. Wait on the Lord. Trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. Robbery. Taking what doesn't belong to you. Now that means so much more than shoplifting or going into a grocery store and stealing something. That's talking about robbing God of glory. That's talking about taking credit where credit's not due. Don't become vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Everybody is interested in being financially stable. I want to be able to pay my bills. You do too. This is not about desiring to be rich. I love the scripture in 1 Timothy 6. They that will be rich, that's their will. You know, the reason people are rich, that's what they want to be. I mean, that's what they set out for. I know that the Lord made it to where they can be that way, but that's they that will be rich fall into snare and many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, if riches increase, the Lord may make them to increase. Set not your heart on them. Remember, His blessings are spiritual blessings. Riches can be a curse if they make you find security in them and not in Christ Himself. He said, if riches do increase, don't set your heart on them. I mean, they can fly away so quick. I mean, the Lord can take them away just like that. Where your treasure is, Christ, there your heart is. He is my treasure. He is my riches. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Verse 11. God hath spoken once. Twice have I heard this. Now, that gives us some idea of the importance of this statement. God has spoken once. I've heard it twice. This is to be confirmed all together. Power belongeth unto God. Power belongeth unto God. You know what that means? That means He has a monopoly on power. It all belongs to Him. No man has any power at all. Now, I brought this up before. I remember I was riding in my car and I was listening to the radio and it said they're going to get the five most powerful men in the world. And I thought, phooey. No man has any power. Power belongeth unto God. Any power you have is borrowed power. The only reason you have any power or influence, which you don't in and of yourself, but it's what God's given you to accomplish His purpose. Pilate looked at the Lord and said, "Don't you know that I have power?" How do you reckon the Lord felt when He said that? "Don't you know that I have power to release you or to condemn you? You're in my hand." And the Lord said, "You could have no power at all over me, except it be given thee from above. You are God's pawn doing God's will." That is true of everything. Now, I think it's very interesting in the Scripture. We read of five things that belong to the Lord. Now, we know everything belongs to Him because Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein," everything belongs to the Lord. So I can't say that this doesn't belong to the Lord. He's in control of it all. But still, there are five specific things that are said to belong to the Lord. Power belongeth to the Lord. Salvation belongeth to the Lord. That means it's utterly up to Him as to whether or not me or you will be saved. Salvation belongeth to the Lord. We also read this, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." Vengeance belongeth to the Lord. Don't you try to get revenge on anybody. That belongs to the Lord. He's in control of that. And then Daniel said, and I love this, "Righteousness belongeth to thee." To us, confusion of face.
That's what Daniel said about himself. All we have come and does is confusion of face. But righteousness belongeth to the Lord. If you have righteousness, it's because He gave it to you. It's not because you worked it out and achieved it by what you did. There's only one righteousness. You believe that? There's only one righteousness. The righteousness of Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God. The righteousness that belongs to Him. Righteousness belongeth to the Lord. And look at verse 12. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. Here's the fifth thing. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. Mercy is God not giving you what you deserve. But look what he says. This almost, if you don't know the gospel, this statement doesn't make any sense. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Now, how's that? How can mercy belong to God, and yet He gives every man exactly what they deserve? Well, remember how mercy and truth are met together, and righteousness and peace have kissed one another in the gospel? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 for just a moment. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to appear before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. That's an appointment you can't get away from. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Here's the fact. If I'm in Christ, everything I've done in my body is good. Like that publican who beat on his breast crying, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Christ said, I say unto you, that man went down to his house justified. You know what that means? Having never sinned. All the things done in his body are good. Now, talking about mercy. By His mercy, He made it so every believer receives the things done in their body as good. Now, if that's talking about anything else, I don't have any hope. And it's not talking about anything else. This is how real justification is. I stand before God having never sinned. You say, how could that be? You have sinned. Christ made it to where it's not. And my personal testimony, if you want to know the skinny on me and know the reality about me, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There is my life before God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's a glorious statement, isn't it? Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Now listen to this. If you want to meet God on the footing of your own works, go for it. He'll meet you there. If you want to meet God on the ground of the pure, free mercy of Christ, He'll meet you there. He renders to every man according to his works. Okay. Man, what in the world's wrong with that thing? I don't know what's wrong with it.
Steve, we come with our words.
We're done. It's over for us.